Hello and welcome to another Simon Parks on Connecting Consciousness. Doing our usual recording, and today is the 18th, but this will go out to you on the 20th. So we just had a few little bits of breaking news which I've just put onto the website, and we can talk a little bit more about them now. So it's great to be back and talking to you all again. What I wanted to think I'd start with is the royal wedding. Seems to be so many newspapers, radios, TV stations, absolutely full of the royal wedding, absolute nonsense, things that really don't matter. And I suppose it's a good way, isn't it, that you confuse people, you keep them busy, and you try and fill their heads full of worthless nonsense. I think the days of the 1950s and 1960s are well gone, and I think people are heartily sick of it. Yes, they want the couple to be happy and to get on with their lives just like we would anyone else, but to fill newspapers and televisions with day after day of the same stuff, it's really something that I think would be consigned to the 1950s, 1960s. All right, so that's my rant about the royal wedding. Very sadly, you know, in the last few hours, really, we've had the report of the more serious of the two instances, which is, of course, the shooting in the Texas school. And I have had reports that there have been some fatalities, but no information about the shooter. It is possible the shooter's been captured alive. I don't know yet. So it's too early to say whether this is another one of these staged events or whether it's a genuine in the sense that somebody has taken up a gun on their own accord and started to do it. So we really don't know yet. So that's something that I hope will come be more clearer in the days ahead. Talk about the instance at the Trump Organization. And of course, this is a guy who was apparently ranting and raving, went in with the United States flag and draped it over the counter at the reception and then started shooting. From the information that I've received, it looks like this is not a staged attack, but something that's quite random. But we don't know yet. It's all the information comes through and it's all over the place. But from the little bit that I'm getting, it looks like this is perhaps more of a genuine or random incident and not something that was designed to destabilize or attack any of the Trump family. I don't, from what I've told, Trump wasn't in the building, but one of his children was actually there. The other bit of news that I think is worth talking about is the situation in Chile, where 34 of the bishops have been to the Vatican and asked for the Pope to accept their resignation over paedophilia and child sex abuse claims. The Catholic Church seems to be absolutely, totally embroiled in child sex, child trafficking, and it seems to be in every country. For 34 bishops to offer their resignations, that's just unprecedented. You know, how many more of these church people are going to have to come forward before there's a huge organization? The difficulty is that the church isn't actually policed. The church polices itself. And that's one of the big problems, where you have people in different countries where the government recognizes that that organization has some legal status. So here in Great Britain, the church has a legal status. It has representatives in the House of Lords. It receives grants and money. There are tax breaks for people from the registered church. So all through Britain's history, relatively recent history, last 500-600 years, the church has enjoyed, I think that's the right word, enjoyed privileges of protection from the state. That's a greater or lesser extent in other countries. But maybe you see where an organization becomes above the law, then situations occur which are above the law. So that's, although it's taking place in Chile, I think that this is something that could happen in any country. So in terms of my updates today, that's really what I wanted to focus on, the shooting in the school, the shooting in the Trump Organization, and the situation of this child trafficking, child sex in Chile. There are other things that are going on, but at the moment the information I've got isn't solid enough. And the next update I do, I'll be able to cover more detail some of the more interesting things that are just bubbling under the pot at the moment. So what I want to do, because we've now got nearly 1,000 questions, is quickly get onto those questions. So I'm going to ask Rebecca to ask the questions if you're there.
Uh-huh. Okay. Dear Simon, I love your shows. So Anunnaki came to Earth to dig out gold, which their failing atmosphere needs. But according to Mehran Keshe, it's easy to make gold from any metal. He might have already given out this technology in his lectures, which I am not following. A while ago, Russian scientists also had a press conference where they announced they can convert any metal into gold. Since Anunnaki reside in a higher dimension, I am sure that they are aware of the technology to make gold from other metals. If that's true, then the story of Anunnaki coming to Earth to mine gold doesn't make sense. What's your comment on this? And thank you for your relentless work for humanity.
Thank you for your kind comments. Thank you. It is interesting. There are, to my knowledge, there are 4 countries that are in the process of building machines or devices that basically you put all the rubbish in rocks or concrete, whatever it might be, and these machines have the capability of extracting any precious metals, and gold would be one of them. So this is a very, very relatively new process. The last sort of 30, 40 years have had the capability to go through old waste hip tips from a gold mine or silver mine and to extract the minerals out of there that had been originally missed. But what we're talking about now is just the bare earth or rock or even processed stone materials that they can now, through these very special machines which they are devising, can extract gold. So you're right that somebody or a country or a planet with a higher technology, we would imagine, would have the capability. But what we have to understand, first of all, is that the Anunnaki arrived here from a planet on an elliptical orbit that only came round every so many thousands of years. Their chances of jumping off from that planet to find another planet to obtain gold, not as easy as it might be. And so if you look at you can call it Planet X, if you look at its trajectory, it came very close to Earth. And so for a period of time, it was relatively easy to be able to come down from that planet, should we call it a planet, or a spaceship, come down from that planet to set up mining operations. The gold on Earth actually is relatively pure, as opposed to gold from other places. I agree with the questioner in the sense that Zakaria Sitchin talked about gold for seeding into the atmosphere, and indeed heavy metals are placed into chemtrails, and some of that is a reflective material, not just to stop heat, but we've talked about this, to prevent a certain frequency of light coming through, which in the case of Earth is actually helping to raise the vibration. But also gold can be used through a number of processes to prolong life. And my understanding from the Anunnaki was, yes, the gold was used for many processes, and one of them was for the extension of their life. So if you have a planet, which is Earth, within a very close distance from your original base, then it made perfect sense to come here and mine the gold, and you would have a number of uses for it. And so we know we have the original story where the Anunnaki were digging, and then they thought, this is ridiculous, we are the overlords, why on earth are we digging? And there was a rebellion, and hence the production, if that's the right word, of gold came to a standstill. Anu was then pretty furious, and so the plan came to create a slave race who could do the digging. And that's where we get the two groups, the black or browner people who did the digging, and then the whiter people who tended the facilities, the gardens, etc. And this is where we get the division. So I hope that's an answer. So I accept what you're saying. I think there's a lot of truth in it, although I do believe that the gold was something they wanted to put into the atmosphere as well. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. And that last question was by someone called Hong Rainbow. The next question by Parker is, hello, Simon. I have a question about the dog extraterrestrial race. I was watching one of your presentations and you briefly mentioned them and how they are proficient with swords before an audience member interrupted you. I would very much like to hear your full, in-depth explanation of this race. Thank you, and okay. I'm happy you moved on and got a new radio show.
Oh, thank you.
Sincerely, Parker.
Thank you. That's very kind of you. So if I'm doing a conference and I'm giving an answer and someone sort of speaks, then what I'll tend to do is, if it's an interesting question, or I'll deal with it straight away, but then I don't always have the time to go back and pick up where we left off. There are a number of races. We could call it the Canis race. You're calling it the dog race. This technical term that we would use here on Earth is the Canis race. And interestingly enough, the Canis race and the Raptor race, Raptors, remember, did work quite strongly with the United States Navy, both like swords. The Canis definitely use swords. This is a particular group that are anti-reptilians. And the Canis race don't like the reptilians, or at least they don't like the factions that have ensconced themselves with governments on this earth. So what's fascinating is that a government, doesn't matter which, let's just say a government, does an agreement with the Greys. And the Greys, in this particular scenario we are painting, are controlled by a reptilian faction. Now, here's what's really interesting, is that the reptilian faction is based in Earth. The Greys arrive from outside of Earth. So a deal is done between the government and the Grey race, when they see them back on their spaceship and off they go. But the real masters who've organized the deal from the signing on their side are here in Earth. Now, that government, until very recently, would find it incredibly difficult to go behind anyone's back and then do another deal with an organization or a group of off-planet entities that were diametrically opposed to the reptilians. But that's in effect what's been happening over the last 3, 4, 5 years, where if the government itself hasn't felt empowered enough to run a double game, then it's empowered one of its subgroups or one of its sub-agencies or another arm of government at an agency level to go and do a deal, in this case with the Canis race. And the worry is, of course, that the government will be caught playing both sides. But this is something that's happening more and more and more as the reptilian force is becoming smaller, its influence is becoming less. Then there are other groups now that are trying to get in and take that void, trying to take the position. And I think it's very difficult for a government because they want that connection because it's anti-reptilian, but at the same time, they don't want to replace one overlord with another. But the Canis race very anti the reptilians. They've fought many wars. There is a connection with the Canis race and Mars. Could I see any sort of treaty or group with them? I probably think I could. But in order for that to happen, then the power base for the reptilians has to be totally destroyed. And once that's happened, then I think a lot of side issues or side deals can be dealt with. And I don't necessarily see one big federation making a deal with Earth, but I see a number of sub-treaties, shall we say. And I would say the Canis might well be one of those groups. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Next question is by Mark. Are all creatures of the Bigfoot, Dogman, and Bearman types naturally evolved physical beings that exist multidimensionally? They have been seen to materialise and shape change, which indicates that all or some of them have unusual origins and powers. Thank you.
I'm not qualified to talk on all of the range of the beings that you've mentioned. Indeed, there are some that you've not mentioned. But what I can say loosely is that some of the groups are indigenous to Earth, so they were literally born from the Earth. Others came here, so they're not actually of the Earth, but they came here to fulfill a role. And some of the groups are indeed genetic mutations or genetic experiments from many, many years ago. all of the creatures that you've described, oddly enough, are more spiritual than humankind on the planet. That is because they, for whatever reason, and I don't understand, they took a stronger connection to Earth than humans do now. So they became closer to nature, they became closer to the environment, they shunned mankind, they shunned the cities, technology. And although they are intelligent and hugely spiritual, they actually just want to live on their own. They don't want to be part of something bigger. There are a number of portals on the planet where it is possible to connect with these beings. And there are some very interesting stories that they are quite, some of them anyway, are quite fond of sweet, like candies. They are quite into certain things that we would think is quite amusing. So they do have a very strong connection to the Earth. As in terms of powers, yes, they do. Their powers are not physical powers. Their powers are of the mind, and more importantly, of the spiritual connection to the Earth. So they, I see them as part of the same way I would look at, you know, elementals. Although an elemental has more of a role for protecting a particular environment within Earth or on Earth, these beings have taken the role to them as part of where they live. So I would say that they have the ability to heal and repair and to be at one with the environment that they're in. So they are an important aspect of the place they live, and that they should just be left alone. Thank you.
Okay. Ben asks, are dairy products all right to eat?
Dairy products okay to eat. I eat dairy products. The question, I suppose, is we can't know what's actually going into the animals that produce butter, eggs, milk, etc. If the animal has drugs being given to it, then there's a chance that that's going to come through into those products that we've talked about. So I can't tell you whether it's safe to eat or not safe to eat. All I can tell you is that I do eat cheese, I eat eggs, I don't drink milk. I do have butter. And I think it's a choice that everyone has to make. That's the choice you have to make. If you can get organic food, then you are doing everything you can to avoid all of these unnecessary elements that seem to be finding their way into human food at the moment. So I can't say to you yes or no. I can just tell you that this is what I do. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Bruno from Germany says, dear Simon, years ago I had a returning dream that now keeps popping up as a memory. I am floating freely in space, stars visible in the distance, no other being in sight, but I feel there are entities behind me. I'm approaching a planet until it fills most of my visual field. It feels fairly familiar, shows large continents and royal blue zones, much smaller than Earth oceans. But everything feels cold, sterile. Something is not good here. Most disturbing, no light sources, no clouds, seemingly no atmosphere, and very blunt colours. I feel a bit afraid, but more than that, I feel sad. It feels like I was brought here just to watch that. Have you got any ideas? Much gratitude and love, Bruno.
Thank you, Bruno. Two possibilities that I can see. The first one, you said you felt a bit afraid. I would suggest that's your mind and not your soul. Two possibilities here. One, this is a memory that goes back an untold period of time ago. If you existed in an energy form and not in a physical body form, then you would have the capability through consciousness to be aware of planets. And so if a planet is under attack or there's something not right with that planet, then, you know, certain people would be sent or would feel driven or called to that planet to observe it or to try and heal it. So you could be having a memory recall where millions of years ago you were not in a physical form, that you entered that let's just call it a planet. You enter that planet's environment and you are interpreting your feelings that you picked up then now. In other words, the phraseology or the human words you're using to try to express these feelings or memories would not necessarily be the way that you would interpret them millions of years ago. If this was the case, you wouldn't have an organic brain as we have today, and therefore such notions of fear would not exist. So that's one possibility. The second possibility is that you have been given an experience. It is not possible in the physical form to travel through space unless you are protected from that environment. If you feel that you were drifting in space or traveling in space and it was your body as such, then we wouldn't accept that. We would have to say that that was a vision that an off-planet alien had given you. On the other hand, it may be that you've had an out-of-body experience or some astral journey, and you've gone and visited that. Again, the feeling of fear is something you're interpreting now. So it's two things, possibly. It's possibly something an incredible length of time ago which has come back to you, or this is something in this lifetime which you have just recalled fairly recently. Because we don't appear to have any communication with anything, then your planet, this planet is the communication. This is what it's about. And maybe there's a piece missing. Maybe your job was to see what was wrong or to try and find something. So I don't think you've got the complete picture. Try some meditation. Take it easy. Don't try and push it. See if there's anything more that comes back from that. Thank you for sharing.
Okay, thanks. Richard Martin says, what can you tell us of one Loch Ness creature? Is it a time warp situation? Two, the Bermuda Triangle, loss of ships and aircraft. Has this to do with a time warp situation? And three, our favourite corporal was Napoleon Bonaparte, poisoned, causing his death. Wishing you great vision and health.
Right, three questions in one. The first question was Loch Ness, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Right, I actually do believe in the Loch Ness monster. Now, I'm not being paid by the tourist board for that lovely country, Scotland, but I do believe in it. I absolutely have no problem. If I believe in Bigfoot or the Yeti, why would I not then believe that something could live in miles and miles of subterranean water-filled caverns? One of the interesting points is a portal. It's been a bafflement for the last 60 years or so that a lot of these supposedly creatures, magical, mystical creatures, seem to just disappear. It may well be that they have a portal of some sort. It doesn't have to be a magical portal. It can actually be a very physical portal that leads to the inner Earth, and that Earth may be an area full of water, underground lakes, rivers, or it may be in underground dwelling places. So I would accept that without any problem at all. I do believe in the Loch Ness Monster, and I certainly believe in Yetis or Bigfoots or whatever we want to call them. What was the second question?
Well, first of all, was that a time warp situation? Is that the same as a portal? Slightly different.
No, I'm... Well, it's complicated because I accept this time portaling with elementals. I'm quite happy to accept that elementals have the capability to travel from one location to another on the Earth through, you know, instantaneously. But they don't have time travel. They probably have the capability to manipulate time in a very, I don't want to say simple, but I mean in a more restricted way. So I don't believe that the Loch Ness Monster is going into a place and teleporting itself to Mars and swimming around in Mars and coming back. I don't think it's time traveling. I actually believe that there are a form of a portal that gives an access to a more secret and more well-defended location.
Okay, thanks. So the second part was the Bermuda Triangle, loss of ships and aircraft. Right. Has this to do with the time warp situation?
Yeah, that's different. That is to do with time. And the key here was I can't remember now, exactly. It's not something that I've studied hugely, and it didn't seem to be that relevant, surprisingly. But there were, I think, like six aircraft sent out to try to find the first aircraft. And what was interesting was that the, which would be analog radio, the signals were coming through long after these aircraft would have run out of fuel. And what the establishment said was, look, this is radio waves bouncing off the ionosphere, bouncing back. That's actually nonsense. What we have is a situation where these aircraft were taken, and when they made their transition, their transmissions on their radio, they were in another location, but the transmissions made their way to Earth, and so there was a great time delay. So I will accept absolutely without question that in the case of the Bermuda Triangle, there is displacement of time as well as location.
Okay, and the last part, was Napoleon Bonaparte poisoned, causing his death?
I like the question, it was our favourite corporal. See, I immediately thought of Hitler when you said that, because isn't it funny how, you know, they seem to be corporals? It's very odd that. The big question was always around whether he was poisoned by somebody close at hand, you know, like Josephine or one of the other people, or whether there was a concern that there was a chance to try and bring him back. I have no knowledge on that, simply because it doesn't play a role in the development or the future of mankind. Certainly had a role to play in terms of leadership and factions and forcing people to choose between one form and another form. But in the same way as, you know, how did Alexander the Great die? Probably not a million miles away from the way that Napoleon died. Look at the way Julius Caesar died. All of these people were supposedly great men of their time, although they were pretty evil in many of respects, but don't or didn't have a role to play for this transition phase. So it's not something that I have any knowledge on. Nevertheless, it was a fascinating part in Europe's history.
Okay, thank you. Julie asks, does demonic possession add to hormone imbalance, and can it account for having dramatic mood swings?
Right, that's an interesting question. No one's asked me that before. Demonic possession can and does bring huge swings in mood. This is not chemical imbalance. This is to do with energies, not chemicals. If a demonically possessed person, if that demon activates for whatever reason, it will go to the centers of the mind, and it will try to dominate and control the mind and use its energy to bypass or affect those emotion areas in the brain. That's not a chemical reaction. That is an energy reaction. So, no, it's not chemical, it's energy. Yes, you can't say that someone who has lots of mood swings is demon-possessed, but there are plenty of very good established doctors who look at what they call bipolar, or used to be called schizophrenia, things like this. They're misdiagnosing because in medical school they were never taught about demons. I never understood that. We just talked earlier about how the church and the state are part of the same thing. You know, here's the church understands about demons absolutely, but then we've got doctors who are part of the system not understanding and not being taught about demons. Well, I don't understand that. Why would one arm of government be quite happy to talk about demons and possessions, but maybe there's no drugs to sell to remove a demon? So, yes, most definitely, it is one indicator that a person could be possessed, but we would never just go on one indicator. We'd have to look at several others. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Julie also asks, why would Source create the jinn, and will or can they evolve? Are there good jinn?
Okay, well, why wouldn't it create the jinn? You know, we're not God. It's not asked a question. the history of the jinn, we need to remind ourselves that originally, before humanity came here and was developed and became what we are now, there were a number of creatures who were already here, and the jinn were one of such creature. So they were created just like anything else was created, to have life, to experience, to develop, to have the right to live. And so when humanity came here, human consciousness, which has the potential to connect to the 12 strands of DNA, is greater than something created in the demon realm. It is, absolutely. And so what happened was, as human consciousness developed, so the jinn, which were not a full physical form, but an energy form, found that their world was being slowly pushed out by the human race, not in terms, as we would understand, the Homo sapiens sapiens wiping out supposedly the Neanderthal people by living in their caves or hunting their food, but literally human consciousness pushing out the energy consciousness of these jinn. So the jinn, we can't say the jinn were bad. What we can say is the jinn never forgave humanity, and so they have a score to settle. But remember, source creates everything, but everything decides how it's going to be. It's not source's responsibility. Source creates, then you get on and become what you want.
Okay, thanks. Henning asks, what is a timeline?
What is the timeline?
What is a timeline?
What is a timeline?
Yeah.
A timeline is a perceived thread of consciousness. We are on Earth, so we're talking about human consciousness. Humans unwittingly create the timeline. En masse, they decide where they want to go, and that's why television is so important, because it allows negative elites to attempt to push or direct human consciousness, and thus the human timeline, to a more profitable timeline for this individual group. So I've often said, if you think of a railroad line and you're running on that, somebody's ahead trying to switch the lever, switch the points and the tracks to make you jump. And, you know, there have been several jumps now where human consciousness has been hijacked and pushed onto a less positive timeline for humanity. And then it's been pushed back on again. And that's happened at least three times in the last 30 or 40 years that I'm aware of. So a timeline is any trajectory of a living group that has established that it is living and it has a future. And that's what's being fought over, that timeline. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Now, this is a long one from Cheryl. I was told by a medium that I was one of the original fire starters. Can you help me put this into context of earthly history? I do have past life memories, mostly the day I died in more recent past lives. But I also had a vivid dream, like visions of an ancient past life, inside the planet, where I was basically a fire stoker in some sort of cavern. This place, I was an exceptionally large male who only longed instead to spend his days in another ginormous cavern that was filled from floor to ceiling with rows of books of knowledge. I have a nagging curiosity for the relevance of existence to purport my chosen purpose. Thank you for being so kind and caring in your efforts to help so many.
Oh, that's a very, very kind thing for you to say. Thank you. The term you've been given is fire starter. I have a different term, which is fire maintainer. And this is the thing, you know, we have different terms and different phrases, but maybe we used to understand the same thing. A very long time ago, there was more activity underground than there is today. I know that sounds crazy, because we We often talk about underground bases, etc., etc. But it was actually very difficult to live on the surface. If you go back to Zachariah Sitchin's and the story of the Anunnaki, there were certain areas of the earth that were colonized. And indeed, it was seen as dangerous to go outside of those enclaves. Now, that's relatively recently, 250 or 300,000 years. What you're talking about here is millions of years ago. And there really been wide aspects of the planet that were unsafe, maybe because of a form of radiation, maybe other forms of waves that we don't understand today and we don't come across. The point about wanting to aspire, that's the right word, to being a librarian, shows this development. In other words, you have a manual task. Your job is to maintain some form of power system, and you long to leave that manual trade and to advance and to have knowledge, not necessarily to be a keeper of knowledge, but to have access to knowledge and libraries. And those people who want to become learned do so. As a character in Game of Thrones, who wanted to be a macer, and his excitement at seeing a room full of books. So there's a definite a line that runs through the world of magic here, that you start off in one discipline and you move across and you end up in another one. Remember that most people who have this role are female. Think about Atlantis. The keeper of the records there was female. And also remember, in ancient Egypt, a number of females also vied for the keeper of the records and the knowledge, but it was a male that was dominant over them. Think about Alexandria and the records there. Females had a strong position there. So I think what you're getting here is a time so long ago, but as to where you originally came from, that I would find very interesting to work that one out. But that's all I can tell you from what you've said. Thank you.
Metaman Universe asks, Planet X, Nibiru, other astral bodies, can we have an update on solar system movements? Is it still here?
I've always said I believe in it. I had no problem believing in Planet X. I absolutely do believe in it. But what I don't accept is that it was just a million miles away, just out of phase, or people talk about a whole fleet of spaceships that are just waiting. You know, the reality is that this Earth, first of all, has had thousands of spaceships all over it. It's like, from a British point of view, it's like Piccadilly Circus in the height of summer. There isn't a moment when there aren't spacecraft above the Earth. It's just all the time. So to talk about spaceships beyond here or beyond there, that means nothing, because that's just the way it is. In terms of Planet X, I absolutely do believe in it. I've said about, the translation of the Sumerian tablets, that by and large, I thought the translation was accurate. And I defy anyone to attempt to translate Sumerian. We do have issues, though, of course, because the Aldebaran group also use a type of Sumerian. And there were, instances of hacking into the placing of the seals or the tablets. And I'm very fortunate to actually have a Sumerian seal. And then I think the next conference I go to, maybe I'll just take that along and show people. I've taken it to one conference, but I'm happy to show a real genuine Sumerian seal, and then say to people, are you trying to decipher that? So we shouldn't knock people who are capable of deciphering it, even if we don't agree fully with what they've deciphered. Have no problem with Planet X. It is on this elliptical journey. If it's what I think it is, it has the capability to mask itself. It has the capability to, under certain powers, to reduce its speed. So if you were to planet, you would say, well, by this time it should be here and it should be visible. But if it has what I think it has, it could reduce its speed by 50%. In that case, it's on its way, but it's not yet here. Remember, there are two factions, the faction that wants this planet to come here and the faction that doesn't. That's one of the great battles that's being fought out. We've talked about the Lucifer telescope. Remember that the Vatican has two telescopes, the Lucifer, which sees in infrared, and the Standard Telescope. And they are continually looking for the return of Planet X. So they believe in it. They built a multi-million pound infrared telescope. They wouldn't build that unless they knew it was true. So, yes, it'll come back at some point. It's not going to hit the Earth. It may come pretty close, but it's not going to wipe out life. What's fascinating is whether this object has anything living or whether it's totally automated. And that's part of the excitement. Thank you.
This question is from Lizzie. Is it possible the Norse goddess Hela is controlling some of the dark agenda? She has attacked me in dreams for what feels like an eternity, not just because of the new Thor movie.
Huh. I haven't even seen a new Thor movie. I didn't even know there was one. Perhaps you should watch it. We talked about this before in a broad sense, that some of the Norse gods were simply the personification in a particular time age of the Earth to bring back those gods that had been here many thousands of years before that and to update them and put them into a theme or a method that the local population who had been chosen to receive those gods would be best likely to accept them. A number of people on the Earth will have a soul that has been here many, many years and has been with those families. And it's not impossible where one deity finds a human being on the planet with a soul in that person who has many, many hundreds of years ago maintained a position in a royal court. And so you will be attacked. So if you are related in some way, and yet you are in a human body, then most definitely you will either be loved or hated. So there is that possibility to it. If you're being attacked, then you need to seek assistance. That's wrong. You shouldn't have to put up with that. You need to understand really who's behind it. We need to understand why, what's the rationale here. And then once you've understood that, you'll be in a position to stop it. Thank you.
Okay. Sangha Bhattacharya asks, are the Sipapu of the Native Americans stargates or interdimensional portals? What are the nature of underworlds that they describe to have emerged from?
Right. Sometimes we use the word stargate or portal, meaning the same thing. My understanding and my clarification would be that a stargate allows you to move from one location to another location, not necessarily in the same solar system. A portal, you could describe as a portal as that, but a portal can also be something that takes you from your sitting room to your bedroom without walking. So for me, my understanding, the way I use the terms as a portal, it could be a very localized event, but a stargate is something that has an encoding system on it. Portals don't always have encoding system. You could just walk straight into a portal, you come out the other end. But a stargate would tempt to have an encoding system, and then that, which I can't remember now, that TV serial, Stargate, SG, whatever it was, they did, I believe, show some form of coding tumbler lock. Whether that's true or not, what is true is that they are coded, they are locked. What was the first question? Because I've lost that now.
The second part.
Yeah.
Well, it was also, are the Sipapu of Native American stargates, they're like lowered floors.
I believe that they were a form, not stargates, I think they were a form of portal or teleportation device for, I would say, within 500 miles. So to allow a teleportation within 500 miles. These beings had the capability of living underground, but also of connecting with something that was perhaps orbiting the Earth. So I don't see them as stargates. And I don't see them as portals. I see them as something in between.
Okay, and the second part was, What are the nature of underworlds that they describe to have emerged from?
We have an issue with underworlds because if we're not careful, we will envisage hell. And I would rather look at underworlds as dimensions or sub-dimensions within a dimension. So if you're on the third dimension, how can you have a dimension below you? But if you exist in the fourth dimension, then you can have sub-dimensions within the fourth. So if we talk about underworld, then I would want people to try to envisage, if you can, a fourth dimensional world or an environment that maintains a fourth dimensional environment within a third dimensional planet. But within that, there are sub-dimensions, and we could call that underworld, or as literally in a relatively recent film called The Chronicles of Riddick, which if you haven't seen, please watch it. They use the term underverse, which is very good. Someone knows their stuff. They talk about multiverses. So in this case, if we subtract the word underverse with sort of underworld, then you've got an exact match. Thank you.
Okay. Carly says, the prophecies say that we soon go into the golden age, 1,000 years of peace. But what happens after 1,000 years? Thank you, Simon, for all you do. Much love.
Thank you for your kind words. I actually do believe in the golden age. You would call it the golden age. That's a mineral metal, isn't it? But I know what it's trying to put across here. I never believed that we were going to be wiped out. I've never accepted that the Illuminati will massacre 75% of us and the rest of us will be reduced to grubbing around for roots and living in stick houses. I actually do believe that humanity, or the vast majority of humanity, has the opportunity to evolve and to make its way forward. What was the name of the person who
gave the question? I think it was Carly for that question.
Right.
That's okay. I'm moving on to the questions.
It's just interesting that that's an Indian name, isn't it? And we often look to spiritual environments from India to talk about the future and the way it would go. Regardless of whether we call it the age of light or a golden age, this is coming. This is, some people call it ascension, the advancement, the transformation. What we understand is a real opportunity to throw off the shackles and to finally understand what it is to be human, to actually develop and be strong enough and to go into the fifth dimension. Some people say, well, you know, how do we jump through the fourth? Well, we will have flashbacks as we pass through the fourth. We will see aspects, each one is individual, we will see aspects of ourselves where we have had some connection with the fourth dimension and the effect it's had on us and what our life choices were. For those who haven't had a time through the fourth dimension, then hopefully you just get the fast route straight to the fifth. But for those of us who have the fourth, then, you know, we will see that play out, but we don't need to reside there. We don't need to stay there. And if you think about the teachings, particularly from India, they've always taught about transcendence, a moving forward. And if people couldn't exactly put a pinpoint on when that would happen, they'd felt it would happen. They knew it was going to happen. And I know it's in our lifetime, so it's really exciting. Thank you.
Okay, Pat asks, what is the best thing that ordinary people can do for the environmental rehabilitation? Lots of sources say that we need off-world technology, but what should we do in the meantime?
We need this technology to put right the wrongs that have occurred. Don't imagine that the flying saucer is going to land and something's going to come out and say, here's a wonderful bit of kit, go and do this with it. What I want to tell you is that kit's already here. Much of it's coming out of Antarctica. Some of it's back engineered, but a lot of it was already given and is being sat on at the moment. So that material is there. We don't need anyone to come down and give us that. It's already here. It's available. But remember, to bring that out and to use that is to wipe away the old age. Because if you remove the pollution, then you would then need to address why the pollution was there, why you would still make pollution. So we've got to have this fundamental shift of human consciousness before these things would be allowed out. You know, if you've got a factory, just call it Factory A, putting poisons into a local river, what on earth is the point in coming along with something and saying, hey, we'll clear up that river, and then you can continue to put the poisons in, but don't worry, we'll come back tomorrow and we'll clear up the mess. You know, that's not going to happen. We've got to actually be in a position where it's fundamentally wrong to do that. People listening to this show and other shows know that's fundamentally wrong. But, you know, the people who make a huge living, have a huge corporation, shareholders, employees, trade balances, all based on this, they're not going to change until something comes along that makes them change. So the technology is already here. What we're lacking is that drive from humanity to ensure that the mindset is changed. That's what this is all about. We're trying to change the mindset. And it's one thing to engage with people who are loving, kind, and understanding. It's quite another to engage with somebody who's only interested in what the share value is. Thank you.
Okay. Stephen or Stefan says, hi, Simon. I was wondering if you are familiar with the work of Harold Kautzweiler regarding the alien black goo, and if you are, what are your thoughts on what the Ark of the Covenant actually is? Thank you, and keep up the great work.
Oh, it's two huge topics. Mm. Two huge topics. I am familiar with the work. In fact, I'm sure that I've actually...
You've met him and had a chat with him.
I'm sure I have met him and had a chat with him. I did. Mm-hmm. For me, what was more important was his understanding of fourth dimensional demonic entities. That, to me, was more important than black goo. He had, and I can't remember how now, he had come across and understood exactly what one of the major threats to humanity was and is, which is the combination of artificial intelligence with a demonic fourth dimensional entity. AI wants to experience and understand and subjugate biological matter. It hasn't been able to do that. So it wanted an intermediary stage, which is a fourth dimensional entity. So if you understand that fourth dimensional entities through demons can and do survive in the human body, then AI saw that as a great opportunity, a Trojan horse. AI couldn't invest a human body directly, but if there was a demonic force living in you, then AI could live in that demonic force because of its vibrational frequency. And because also most of these demonic entities have a huge amount of reptilian, and remember that AI was programmed by reptilians on their way here, therefore it has an affinity to reptilians. So what was more interesting was his drawing. There was a drawing that he had arranged to have done by psychics who had looked into a person who contained one of these demons, and his drawing, which was on the internet, I had seen somebody else draw that. So I knew he was genuine. I absolutely knew that the psychics had seen for real what was in the person, and I knew that he was trying to bring to the attention of the public one of the great threats facing humanity. And then he was hammered left, right, and center. The demonic, satanic forces got onto him. He was attacked in so many ways. So there you have a genuinely good person who was knocked off course a little bit and really, really, really had a hard time. The black goo, let's not forget that Miles Johnson had talked about black goo many years ago, and other people have as well. Remember the Falklands War? Black goo had quite a strong reason for why that war took place. It wasn't just about the Argentinians wanting the Falklands Islands so they could stick a flag on it. There was a lot more going on than that. So the two forms of black goo, there's a native form of black goo and an alien form of black goo. And that is something that, again, is artificial intelligence has entered the alien black goo. And it's just AI looking at different ways that it can try and get in through the back door. Did that answer the question, or was there something more?
Yeah, kind of. And the last bit is, if you are, what are your thoughts on what the Ark of the Covenant actually is?
Oh, well, it's not black goo. That's for sure. The Ark of the Covenant still exists, actually. It's a huge creational device. Yeah. If I was to say to you, we talked about stargates and portals, but if you imagine all of that rolled into one, I know some people have tried to understand it as a box that created electricity and that, you know, people who touched it dropped down dead. It certainly did have a static charge around it, but it was much more than an energy device per se. But maybe I could say to you that if you took that device and placed it in the pyramid, the Great Pyramid, and you had everything there that Ninurta hadn't destroyed or taken away, part of the wars, that device could, as a byproduct, the energy that it produced would act as a very powerful power supply. The only problem with it was, if you were going to use it like that, is maintaining it. It didn't, you know, you put a plug into a socket and it gives you a set number of volts. And by and large, excluding power surges, you can rely on set current. Well, with that thing, if you tried to do that, you would have great peaks and troughs of power. And you would need a very, not just sophisticated, but a very mammoth-like device to sort of soak it up so that what it spewed out the other end was a much more even power. So the Ark of the Covenant was much more, I'm prepared to say, it was much more than just a power source. You know, you could sit with a group of Knights Templars and have the most amazing discussion about what the Ark of the Covenant really was. So it's one of the big topics. Thank you.
Okay. Sue Owens says, "So happy you're back, Simon. I've always wondered if using a pendulum is dangerous like a Ouija board. Thank you."
No, you absolutely. Thank you, very kind of you. I'm very happy to be back. Don't like being away. It doesn't seem right at all. No, it isn't, because when you're using a pendulum, you are using your higher self and your consciousness, and the pendulum works with you. Now, when you're channeling something or a Ouija board, this is an external object that's already got the mark of the beast on it. So channeling, remember, you can be channeling very genuine stuff, but something can attack it. Now, I know what you're saying. You've got your pendulum. How do I know that something's not going to affect it? It can't operate on a pendulum. Is a very simple thing. Pendulum is yes or no. Some people are more gifted and can get more of it, more out of it. But because, best way I can describe that is there's a very narrow band that the person would use it. And the negative forces can't manipulate within that. If you look at a Ouija board, you've got the potential to push this glass around and spell out letters and numbers. The ability here is much wider. And that gives it room to do it. Now, when you're channeling, yes, you might say, "I'm receiving a narrow channel of information." But what's happening is that the content of that can be hugely complicated. Whereas when you're doing your penduluming, it's simple yes-no answers. It's very hard for a negative force to do that. And also, it's not profitable. Negative force can't get across a sentence to you. It can't get across a long history to you. Whereas with the Ouija board and channeling or or anything else, there's more potential for it. So as long as you connect your higher self to it, and you exclude, you do your protection, and I suggest for everything, every time you do anything like this, then you know that it's just going to be the purest information you receive. Thank you. Now, what I want to do is just to do my thank yous, because believe it or not, we're up to the hour. It just goes by so quickly. I want to thank people who so kindly donated, and as usual, I've had to write your names out because I can't remember your names. So thank you. So to Bernard, Nancy, Edgar, Sue, Christopher, Katrine, Benjamin, Osvaldo, Kira, Suva, Elisa, Shamsa, Tina, Poma, Anthony, Asko, Cheryl, Vesna, Alina, Borgi, Sayoban, Stephanie, Vincent, Jennifer, Nathan, Stefan, Laura, Christiana, Glenn, Joanne, George, Sonja, Nala Perellum. Thank you. That's an interesting name. Darius, Thomas, Diana, Olaf, Polliger, Esther, Manuel, John, Geraldine, Kenneth, Alexander, Ross, Robert, Eileen, Mia, yes, Katia. And then somebody gave me the two initials, G-A, and their second name, but I don't use second name because I don't have your permission to make that public. So if I just say G-A and your second name started with T. Hans, Marianne, Nicole, nearly finished, and then Kiss, Paula, and Bethany. There were some others. I didn't have time to include you, but if you're very kind and send donations next time, then of course I will do my best to say thank you. So thank you so much for helping me, supporting the work I do. And on that, I don't read a lot of the comments, but sometimes I do go through the comments. And one person, not a very pleasant person, obviously, had written something along the lines of, well, you could get a job. You could get a job cleaning toilets. Because I've sometimes said, you know, I would struggle, as I think many of us would. Kerry Cassidy would struggle to get a regular job because people just wouldn't want somebody who talks about the subjects that we talk about in their establishment regular business. So somebody was, you know, trying to be very clever and saying, well, of course you'd get a job. But it's interesting, in the 1980s, I was working in the government and I was in contract work, and that contract finished and I took a job cleaning office blocks in central London. So start at 5:30 in the morning and you went from 5:30 to like 8:30 when the employees came in. And I did that for 3 months until I got another government job. So, you know, I've done that. And people may or may not know that there was a what's called the Greater London Council, the GLC, a long time ago now, before Margaret Thatcher, as the Prime Minister, Conservative Prime Minister, did away with it. And I was, for a short period of time, I was what's called a reserve school caretaker. And I did that. So I'm not too proud to clean up. I think about Connecting Consciousness, the organization that I founded. I wouldn't ask anybody to do something that I haven't or couldn't or wouldn't do myself. Now, clearly there are people that have technical knowledge and I have to ask them to do things because I just don't know that. But in terms of menial jobs, you know, and when I think back to when I was manager in local government, you know, I wouldn't ask anyone to change a light bulb if I hadn't done it myself. So what I'm saying is, if you're going to write comments, you know, try and make the comments a bit more intelligent. Thank you. Shall we take a couple more questions? Well, the dog's barking outside quite a lot. Shall we take another question?
We've
got room for a couple more, just on the hour now.
Okay, we've got one from Kay, who says, thank you, Simon, for all you've done for the world. I support you and bless you wholeheartedly for the good you have done to open our eyes. My question is, do you know the name that Mother Earth calls herself?
Thank you for those kind words. I do what I do, as indeed do many other people, because just have to do it. Just couldn't not do it. You know, couldn't not do it. Well, the names that we have are names that have been given to people. And over the years, people have reported those names. We use the word Gaia. The Sumerians or the Babylonians used the word Ki or Kaya. But if a person was able, fortunately, to enter into some form of communication with the Earth might use a name that she took to herself at that time in the seasons. I don't have a name for the Earth that I could say to you categorically, that is what the Earth calls herself. We use the word Earth, and that's clearly the word that we're supposed to use. But if we want to get more spiritual, then we would use another word. But I don't think we want to get hung up with it. In the third dimension, we are all given names by our parents or by the system. And what does it matter whether you're Fred or George or Geraldine? These are names given to us. And that's what we do. But the soul in our body, does that actually take a name? It's our physical form that gets the name. So we are recognized when we go to pay our taxes. Oh, you're paying your taxes. Oh, you are definitely number 6832971. Please pay here. But the soul doesn't operate in that confined environment. So I don't know the answer to that, because no one's ever sort of said to me, this is the definitive name. I know that the off-planet entities that I associate with just say the Earth. That's the term they call it. Thank you. Do one more question, I think.
Mm. And we know that she's very feminine. That's one thing that we know about. Yeah.
Well, yes, it is a feminine energy. That's without doubt.
Mm. The last question is from Jen in Los Angeles. Hi, Simon. Thank you for all that you do. What chance do we have to beating the globalists and their agendas? Do you think Donald Trump has been compromised by the deep state to go to war? Seeing a globalist French president, Elizabeth Warren, Hillary and the Dems' favoured war made me suspicious of the authenticity of the chemical attacks, and if it was indeed a real attack.
Okay, we've got lots of questions. We've got lots of questions. So just ask me the first question, please.
What chance do we have to beating the globalists and their agendas?
Right. 100% chance. 100% chance. It's already been decided. And I've said this, that's not in question. What is in question is what sort of condition we're going to be like when we make the breakthrough. Will we be standing up or will we be crawling on our knees? That's the bit that I just don't know. We don't know. It's not in doubt. What is in doubt is that what sort of condition, state, how many of us, what's going to happen when we come through the other end. So that's a positive answer there. So next question.
Do you think that Donald Trump has been compromised by the deep state to go to war?
What war would that be? We haven't had a war. We're not going to have a war. No, absolutely not. Look, the problem for Trump was he took on a country that was already understood to be the policeman of the world, which means that when anybody or somebody... is that finally my cat making an appearance in the right-hand corner? Yes, it is. Oh, good. We couldn't have gone with a radio show without an appearance by a cat.
Actually, it's the third. The white one and the black one were also in here.
Ah, well, I can only see Tani's tail there.
Yeah.
So we have a situation, basically, where when you are the leader of a country that isn't cleansed of the control system around it, you are... unbound is not the right word here. You are pressured into taking some action that if you don't do that, then you reduce your diplomatic clout tremendously. So if Trump had not authorized the recent attacks, which were very limited, then it would have made, in a 3D sense, it impossible for America to project its power. Great Britain was the absolute past master at projecting diplomatic power. 99% of the time it achieved what it wanted diplomatically, and only 1% of the time did it have to send the military. The Americans are quite the opposite. They tend to send the military and then try and do the diplomatic stuff. The Jewish state does a mixture of both. So no, he's not been compromised. If he was compromised, you wouldn't have the press attacking him as they continually do. What's the next question?
I'll read it out because really understand it. Oh. Seeing the globalist French president, Elizabeth Warren, in brackets, outspoken critic of Donald Trump, out of brackets, Hillary and the Dems' favoured war made me suspicious of the authenticity of the chemical attacks. And if it was indeed a real attack, who was the responsible party?
Right. I think there might be a confusion here over when we talk about President of France. I don't think it's referring to the President of France. Referring to the EU President?
There's a globalist French Elizabeth Warren.
Right. Yeah. Because Macron is the President of France. So we're not talking. Macron is, of course, a placeman for the elite. Look, all of these big organizations, whether they're the United Nations, whether it's NATO, they are establishments, organizations that have been here for many, many years, and they're not Trump supporters because they're filled with people who owe their allegiance or blackmailed or have their possible future aligned to a particular set of rules, and Donald Trump came along and was completely at odds with those rules. Now, those organizations aren't just going to say, oh, that's great, you know, we'll go with Trump, because Trump is a president, which means he's got minimum 4-year term, but a maximum of 8 years. So these bad guys will play the long game. They'll say, well, you know what, 4 years, 8 years doesn't matter because he'll be gone, and then we'll have somebody else in differently. So that's the way they play them. Politicians are in for a limited term of office. That's why the system limits them, because the system which really controls doesn't want politicians to have a period of time in excess of that, not because they think they want the public to elect people. That's got nothing to do with it. It's because they want politicians never to have the stability to be able to make change on the earth. The people who control the earth are those who don't have to have an election. So they get to the place when they're in their 30s or 40s, and they'll have 30, 40 years. Think of Henry Kissinger. You know, they'll have all these years where nobody's electing them. Nobody can time limit them. So it isn't politicians that we need to really worry about. It's the people who control the politicians. Right, well, we've done more than an hour. I want to thank everybody for listening. Thank you for your support. You know, these are exciting times, and I'm not a doom and gloom merchant, and I'm not going to try and make this more popular by saying to you we're going to be wiped out, and you know, you've got to do this, and this is the best way to survive. I have always said that we need to be sensible. We need to prepare for certain situations, but genuinely and truly believe that we are going to be successful, and we, being human race, but to go back to what we said earlier, I can't be sure how many people will make it through. It's everyone's choice, and I don't know what condition we'll be in, but we will do it, no doubt about that. So thank you ever so much. God bless to everyone, and I'll be back with you soon. Take care.